self-inductance. Okay? And just to give an idea of what this is referring to, let's consider the circuit that I drew here. Okay? So in this circuit, I've got a switch, a resistor, a DC voltage source, an EMF, and so, you know, when the switch is open, there's no current flowing. And then I'm going to close the switch, and then instantaneously, electrons are going to start to flow. I'm going to get a current. Okay? Now, the thing is, though, is that this current, I've got a loop here. And whenever, we've already seen this, whenever we have a loop of current and, arranged in this way, we will get a magnetic field that will, at every point on the wire, will wrap around the wire, right? We've already done this, okay? And we can think about the direction because we could use the Biot-Savart law, and we can say, you know, dl cross r, so in, you know, r is going to be pointed towards the center of this loop, so dl cross r, that means that in this region, the magnetic field comes out of the board, okay? Now, so we've already done this before, and then, of course, outside, it goes back into the board. So we've got sort of this, you know, magnetic field wrapping around, and then what we've seen is that by creating this magnetic field, we, since we started out when the switch was open with no field, now we close the switch, now we go to a place where we have field, because we've got electrons flowing. So, the magnetic flux is greater than, you know, say the way that we have it here, is greater than zero around time t equals 0 seconds, right after we close a switch. Well, if this magnetic flux is changing for that brief period of time, we can use Faraday's law and we could say, ah, that means we're going to induce an EMF in any loop of current of any loop of conductor that makes a path where there's flux changing through the area bounded by that path. Well, this loop itself bounds an area where delta phi b is non-zero. Okay? So the loop itself has the current, generates the field, but it also is bounding the area where the magnetic field is changing. So it actually induces an EMF in itself. Okay? All right, so now we know from Faraday's law, this is just one loop, so we have this, EMF equals negative d phi b dt, okay? And the question, so we start out when we close the switch, we get some I0. And if we just dealt with this the way that we did, where we just have a circuit with the resistor, I0 would be equal to the EMF over R, right? Because it's just Ohm's law. All we have in this circuit is an EMF and a resistor. But, okay, that's fine, but now we got this thing that we're going to induce an EMF, and the induced EMF, because of Lenz's law, the negative sign, is going to oppose the change in magnetic field that's being created by the initial current, I0. So what that's going to mean is Lenz's law is going to cause there to be a current little I goes in the opposite direction as the current that the battery wants to create. Okay? Do you see how this... So you see this wants to come counterclockwise, but this current created by Faraday's law wants to go in the other direction. Do you see how that comes about? Okay. This, the EMF associated with Faraday's law in this case, this is called a back EMF sometimes, because it's resisting the creation of a current that the battery wants to do. You go from zero current to some current, and this self-inductance of this loop, it induces a current on itself because of the generation of a magnetic field from the initial current. This self-inductance produces a back EMF, meaning an EMF that resists the growth in current in the first place. Okay, so let me say it a different way. I close this switch, instantaneously I would want to go from zero current to I sub zero. But self-inductance means that the current can't go instantaneously from zero current to I sub zero. It's going to be resisted by induction. And in the very beginning, when this wants to go very fast, because I sub zero is much different than zero current, that's when I'm going to get the biggest change in magnetic field, and so the biggest change in magnetic flux, and so I'm going to get the biggest back EMF right away. And then the current's going to grow and get closer to I sub zero, and the back EMF will be smaller because the change in flux will get smaller and smaller as we go in time. Okay? So that's kind of a schematic of what happens when we talk about self-inductance. Okay? And we've talked about all these pieces before. We've talked about the inductions in the loop, but we haven't called attention to the fact that you can have a loop, has a changing magnetic field, a changing current, and by virtue of that, it can induce an EMF in itself. Okay? All right. Now, we can go a little further, because there's actually, this now gets into a point which is analogous to a capacitor. We've talked about resistors, we've talked about capacitors. These are the two major circuit elements that you know about from what we've talked about so far. But now we're going to talk about what's called an inductor. So let's just go back to the expression. Well, I erased it, of course. Of Faraday's law. Okay? Now, what we know already is that phi b is proportional to the magnetic field, and that's proportional to the current. All right? So we've already gone through a situation where we've seen that, okay, then that proportionality constant carries through, and we could produce an expression of an induced EMF based on the change in current. And we've done this before, earlier. But, let me do this a little more explicitly. So we know that phi is proportional to B and proportional to the current. And so what I could do is, let me just do it explicitly. What I could do is just substitute in that phi B equals L times I, where L is some proportionality constant. And then I get this expression. So this piece here is called the inductance. Okay? And this quantity, if we think about it from the point of view of we have some coil and we have some magnetic field lines, that are passing through the area bounded by the loops of the coil. So we can say, okay, fine, if this magnetic field is changing, we're going to get an EMF, induced EMF in that coil. Well, if that's the case, then the thing for each of the loops that defines this, the thing that defines this for the whole coil is going to be this expression, where we would have started out with the number of loops in the coil in our original expressions of Faraday's law. But this L now contains that information. It also contains information about the relationship between phi and B, which includes the size of the area of the coil, okay, because phi is related to B. It's the product of B and the area, okay? So this coil can be described in this way, and we have a property of that coil called inductance, all right? Inductance is vaguely analogous to capacitance for a capacitor. And, you know, one way to think about it, one way to think about inductance is it is a quantity that tells you at some level how much the change in current is going to be resisted by this little device, okay? Because this loop, since it will have many turns, will produce, in the change in magnetic field that's going to happen here, it will produce a significant back EMF, which will then resist the initial EMF that was, or change in current that was going on. Okay? Now, the unit here is called the Henry. All right? And 1 Henry equals 1 volt second per amp. Okay? So hopefully, I mean, you should keep track of this, what the units are and how they break down. Okay. Now, and the other thing that I should point out, this thing, this coil, okay, also has a name. It now becomes the equivalent or the analog to the capacitor. This is now called an inductor. All right? And an inductor has a symbol, like, you know, capacitor, the symbol is sort of looks like two parallel plates. An inductor in circuit diagrams will look like a little coil. Okay? So that's how we'll draw it. Okay? So induction can be used as a way to slow down the increase in current as we go. And when we study AC circuits, we'll actually see that there's a phase relationship that an inductor imposes on the current in a circuit. Okay? to the voltage change in the circuit. Okay. Now, does anybody have a question? All right. Now, what we'd like to do then is we'd like to take this inductor now that we've just invented, and we'd like to actually combine it with a resistor in a circuit and see what would happen. So let's take an EMF here, put a resistor and an inductor, and we'll have a switch. Okay? So this is resistor R, this is inductance L, and then we have some switch here, and we have our EMF. Now, when we close the switch, we're going to get some current that's going to go in this direction. Okay? And what's going to happen, we can think about this from the point of view of points on either end of the inductor. And we want to think about this at each point in time. So we're going to think about the time dependence of what happens in this circuit. Okay? So when we close the switch, so this is S, all right? Then the derivative with respect to time of the current is going to be greater than zero. Because we got no current, we close the switch, we're going to get current. And so we know from Faraday's law what the back EMF is going to be. It's going to be negative L di dt, which is less than zero. So that's a back EMF. It's going to go in the other direction. Okay? Now, the interesting thing is the electric potential actually decreases here across the inductor. We don't just get a voltage change across the resistor. So we actually want to try to think about what's going to happen to the current here. And the way that we can do this is go back to what we did with Kirchhoff's rules, and we can use the loop rule. So we can say that the EMF minus the voltage change across the resistor, and this will be an instantaneous in time, okay, expression, minus the voltage change across the inductor, all right, which is this back EMF that we have here. I should mark it with a special symbol, E sub L. So E sub L is minus L di dt. Okay? This, what does that sum have to equal? Zero. Okay? So we're just applying the loop rule, but now what's going to happen is the current is a function of time. Everything else is a constant, R, L, and EMF. Those are all constant. But the current is a function of time. We're going to want to take this equation and solve it in such a way that we can get the expression for I as a function of t. So the first thing that we could do is we could divide everything by R. Okay? And so if we do that, and then we could say, so now you just have E over R, which is the total EMF over R, minus the current I, minus L over R times di dt, that equals zero. And then what I could do is I could take this piece right here and just replace it with a variable x. All right, so just going to do a substitution here. Now, if we do that, then we have this equation. This equation, okay? Which we could now have a hope of solving. So I'm going to rearrange stuff so that I can do an integration to try to figure out what x of t is. So if I move x over to this side, I will get this. Okay. I can cancel the negatives. Okay. And again, mathematicians will. Are there any math majors here? Yeah. Okay. I'm good. All. Don't try this at home. What? Yeah. Okay. All right. So. But, you know, I know this is illegal, but we know. Physicists do it anyways because, what can I say? You just substitute through here. These are constants. Okay, so then dx, d. I'm a physicist, I'm not a mathematician, so I'm not going to try to defend every piece, but basically di dt equals dx dt if x is that. Okay. E over r is constant, so when you take the derivative, this piece goes away, and so it's just di dt. Okay? Do it. I mean, you'll see what I'm saying. The thing that really horrifies mathematicians is this, which I did before when we did the RC circuit. But you take this, okay? And there's one other thing that I want to do. Actually, I have, of course, flipped things. So what we're going to do is this, okay? So I've just moved things around. So I get the x stuff on one side, the dt on the other, r over l is just a constant, okay? So that's the relationship I did. Yes, I've split up the dx dt, just multiplied by dt. And now what I can do is I can integrate from time t equals 0 to some time t. Okay, and I appear, I made a mistake here. This was not, I made a mistake here. There should this expression should still have a negative sign there, and there should still have a negative sign there. I'm sorry. Okay? Now, all right, so to cut to the thing, if I do this integration, what I'm going to end up with is the log of x over x0, which equals negative r over l times t. And I can exponentiate both sides. So now I'm going to get the following expression, x equals x0 times the e to the minus rl, r over l times t. All right? And now I could substitute back in what x is, and the final expression that I would get is I will have the current. Let's do this more explicitly. If I substitute x in general, I have this. X0 is this. But the current at time equals 0 is 0. So now I can have, and I can bring my E over R here, so I'm going to have do you follow me? Okay. I can get rid of my negative signs, and so that's it. That's my current. That's my function. I is a function of T is this number here, which is I, what we were calling I0. It's the, really I should be calling it not I0, but we should be calling this I max. That's the highest the current can get. As a steady state, eventually, this circuit will function as just an EMF and a resistor with nothing else in it, and so it's just the current is that E over R. But for some finite period of time, I have this component here, which means that I have a back EMF, and it takes some time for me to ramp up to that maximum current. Okay? Is there a question in there, or It's I E over the EMF divided by the resistance times 1 minus E to the minus R over L times T. Okay? And this quantity here is a quantity called tau. Okay? And that is called the time constant of the equation. And so this is the equilibrium value of the current, and that is the time constant. And again, what you're going to get here is that as time goes to infinity, what does that exponential term go to? Goes to zero. So as time, so if I were to do this, if I were to draw the current as a function of time, I would start out with zero current, and then it's going to do this. Okay? And the characteristic time that it takes to change is going to be this time constant tau, which means that's the time it takes to get to 0.69 of its maximum value. Okay? Let's actually try some values here. So one of the problems, I don't remember if I've, one of the ones I've assigned. Problem 15, okay. So in problem 15, the EMF is 12 volts. The resistance is 10 ohms. And the inductance is 2 henries. Okay? So, you know, how long does it take to get to 50% of the final value of the current, which is I max? Okay? Now, the expression that you want to use is the one that we just derived. So let's just write it down. It's I of t equals I max 1 minus the time constant R over L times t. So that's the expression we had just derived. All right? So how do you use that to figure this out? Well, what you know is that you've got the relationship of I of t over I max is 50%. Or 0.5. I'll get negative 0.5 equals minus e to the negative r over l times t. I can cancel the negative signs. I can take the log of both sides. This here is 0.69 equals r over l times time. So there is one other aspect of this that I want to talk about, which is the energy that we can store. So the inductor, kind of like a capacitor, can store energy. All right? It's different. It does things differently. And so we can use the loop rule again, We can use the loop rule again to try to quantify this. So first of all, in this case, what I can do is I can move these two terms over, and I can get All right, now why did I do that? Well, the reason I did this is because the total power in the circuit is IV or IE, but I can multiply this whole thing by I to get this expression. Okay? Now, this here is the power dissipated in the resistor. Okay? And this is going to be the power with the inductor, but it also has information. I mean, it's the rate that energy is stored is the right way to say it. So another way to say this is that the total power here is equal to the power in the resistor plus the power dissipated in the resistor and the power stored in the inductor. So I can write this a little more explicitly as du dt. So this is the total power. And So what I want to do is I want to find out something here. So I can understand what is the power stored here by getting IE minus the power dissipated in the resistor equals IL DI DT. Okay? And this piece here will just is the power stored in the inductor, DU DT. Okay? Well, the rate that the energy is stored. And I can play the same trick that I played before. To try to figure out what the actual energy U is. So this is the rate that it's stored, but I want to know how much is actually stored, can be stored. So I'll, again, math major should close your eyes, I'll divide out the DTs. And so I can integrate both sides. So this is just U, the energy stored. I and L, well, L is a constant. All right, so this is, and the integral of I dI is equal to 1/2 I squared. So this becomes L I squared over 2. Okay? So this expression is the total energy that's stored in an inductor. And this is a useful expression. I mean, this is related. This is analogous to the expression that we got for a capacitor when we were looking at the energy stored in a capacitor. Okay? All right. So that's self-inductance. Now, the next, we have also talked about situations. This is all in the case where I have a loop that has a change in current that creates a magnetic field which produces a back EMF. But I can actually, we've already done a case, and we did a demonstration, where we had one, it was the jumping ring demonstration. We had one loop, one coil, generating a change in magnetic field, which produced a change in flux in another loop or coil. And what we saw is it caused the coil to jump up because the currents in the coil and the loop were going in opposite direction, and that produced a repelling force. So we've already seen that. And that's related to the idea of what we call mutual inductance. So again, what we've just been talking about is called self-inductance. But there is something called mutual inductance. And this will lead us to what we call a transformer. So self-inductance leads you to what we call an inductor, and mutual inductance will lead you to what we call a transformer. Okay, but let's think about it this way. I have one coil here and another coil here, but let's just treat them each as one loop each. Okay? And in this coil, I have a current I sub 1, and let's say there's some number of turns N1. Okay? If I try to draw all the turns N, it'll be a mess. Now, when this is produced, let's say the current is going in this direction, so I use B O sub R, I got DL cross R, so inside here, the B field lines are coming out upward, sort of, okay? Through this loop here. But that also means I have this, the area bounded by this loop, okay? Those lines are passing through that loop. These things are they're right next to each other, okay? So basically, I've got a change. Whatever this change in current is producing in terms of a change in flux, that is going to produce the same, essentially, change in flux going through the surface bounded by this loop too. Okay? So there's going to be a current here, I2, an induced current I2, and let's say that there's a number of loops there, N2. Okay? And we would like to understand what is the relationship between the electronics, essentially, what's going on in this loop versus what's going on in this loop. Okay, so there's going to be a relationship. These things are going to be tightly coupled. We do something in loop one, and something's going to happen in loop two. What is it? So, so let's actually think about this change in field, or this field together, as we'll call it phi 1, 2. So this is the flux through surface 2 from loop 1. Okay? And this thing can change. And if we do that, then we can define a quantity, M12, which is a mutual inductance. This is going to equal... Now, if I just took Faraday's law, and I wanted to know what the EMF is in loop 2, what it's going to tell me is I have that it is, this is just straight using Faraday's law, here's the change in flux through loop 2, and I have the number of turns that are in loop 2, N2. So it's minus N2 times d phi 1 2 over dt. Okay? And I could write that, I could sort of substitute phi 1 2 is the flux from loop 1 through loop 2. And this, you should recall, for self-inductance, we got an expression that looked like this. So this is the same basic equation as we had for self-inductance. It's just here we have this quantity M12, which we will usually actually refer to as L, but it's an inductance. But it is a mutual inductance, and we refer to that because we've got these two interleaved coils. Okay, that's pretty much all I have to say about that. Okay? Now, we're not going to talk about it until we get to AC circuits, but what this allows you to do, and I alluded to it before, even though I had miswritten this down, what this allows you to do is I can have a current in here. I can have a voltage here. And by playing with the number of loops in this coil versus this coil, I can actually create a higher voltage than I had in my initial voltage, or a lower voltage. And that's what a transformer is. So I just mentioned it ahead of time because the reason a mutual inductance is useful is because it allows me to step up in voltage or step down in voltage, which is LC circuits. So we could take a circuit that has a capacitor and an inductor and a switch. Now, not a whole lot's going to happen here because I don't have an EMF or whatever. But let's imagine that I charged up my capacitor so that it has some charge Q, and I just have it. Okay? And now what I want to do is I'm going to put that into this circuit. So it starts out having some charge. And, of course, when I close this switch, the charge is going to, from one plate is going to want to get to the other plate so that I get no charge total. Current's going to want to flow. Okay? Now, the total energy, so this is a capacitance C, and this is an inductance L. And if I consider the expression that I just gave you a bit ago about the energy stored in an inductor, and then the equivalent expression that we got some time ago for a capacitor, the total energy is going to be the total energy at any given time in the circuit is Q squared over 2C plus LI squared over 2, okay? And I want to try to use this, and this piece is for the capacitor. And this piece is for the inductor. So I want to use this expression to try to come up with what the behavior of current will be. So I'll start out, I have no current, I close a switch, current will flow, it will go through the inductor, I will get some back EMF, and something will start to happen. What will happen? Now, I won't go through, just because we're late, I won't go through it in detail, but I will set it up and then give the punchline. If I take this expression here, and I differentiate it with respect to time, what I will eventually end up with, and if I had more time, I would go through it, but just I think you can follow it in the book. I more want to get to the next sections. What you will get to is a differential expression that looks like this. Okay? Now this expression, this is just, there's algebra going from here to here. I'm not going to go through it. Just look in the book. It's like what we've done in other cases like this. The important point here is this looks very similar to an expression you've already seen. Okay? Or another way to say this would be, does anybody remember what this expression is? What's physical system that applies to? The spring. Okay? Where this is the frequency of the spring. Okay? Well, what that implies is that this has something to do with the frequency of something. What? Well, here, the thing that's changing is the position. Okay? Here, the thing that's changing is the Q, is the charge. And so the current, essentially, will be changing in an LC circuit in with a frequency of 1 over the square root of LC. Okay? We're just mapping this relationship onto that relationship. So what does this mean? So, and what it means is the solution here to this equation looks like this. Q at some time is Q max times the cosine of omega t. Okay? So what does this mean? This means that I start out at t equals 0, I close a switch, I got charge here and no current. So I have some large amount of current that starts to flow right away. That's the cosine of time equals 0. I get cosine is 1 there. So I get a large amount of current. And then the cosine says the current will go down. Okay? Why? Because I've got this inductor that's resisting that. And so, and I'm also running out of charge on this capacitor.